take a little study of the word Hebrew and Greek words forever. And I think you'll find that interesting, and I think you'll find it spiritually profitable. First of all, there are several Hebrew words that are translated forever or everlasting or eternal. And they're important to understand because they can be tricky. They can mean long-lasting. They can mean as long as conditions exist. They can mean when it comes to God, when you're referring that word to God, then it is almost always translated forever or eternal. Let me give you an example. Here in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Now, the Hebrew word for everlasting is the Hebrew word olam, O-L-A-M, which can mean long duration, antiquity, futurity, you know, into the future. But when it is applied to God, it's almost always translated eternal or everlasting. Psalm 90 and verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting. From eternity to eternity, you could say. You are God. Well, yeah, absolutely. Is he not God from eternity? Of course he is. Would you say, well, for a long time you've been God? No, you wouldn't say that. You know, you wouldn't say that. In Isaiah chapter 6, I certainly cannot go through all the scriptures using this word because it's just too many. But I'll give you some ways in which it's used. In Isaiah chapter 6, you have, chapter 9, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you remember this passage. It goes, for a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Now that's another Hebrew word. It's not olam here. That word is, it's ad, A-D. The word A-D. And it, again, means a long time. It reaches out to, a long way, the word ad, A-D. Okay, so he is the AD father, the ad father, meaning eternal. When you apply it to God, it has to mean eternal. Now in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4, here's what it says. Trust in the Lord forever. And that Greek, that Hebrew word again is ad, meaning in perpetuity. Trust in the Lord in perpetuity. You know, as long as you live, you know, people take vows in a marriage. We will love each other forever. People often say that. They want to write their own marriage vows. I've done a lot of weddings, so they'll say they want to write their own marriage vows. I will love you forever. What does that mean? It means you can't love forever because you die one day and you're not loving anymore, right? Or they divorce and something happens. So again, here it is, Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever means in perpetuity. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. And that Hebrew word is olam, O-L-A-M, transliterated from the Hebrew. We have a, again, when you don't say a long rock or a long time rock or a high duration rock, you would say an everlasting, because it's applied to God. It's an everlasting rock. In Psalm 136, you're very familiar with this. Give thanks to the Lord. This is Psalm 136, verse 3. Give thanks to the Eternal, the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness endureth forever, says the King James, or as it says in more modern translations, his loving kindness is everlasting. Again, the Hebrew word is olam. Well, how long does God's loving kindness last? Just for a long time, for quite a while, is what you'd say? Or are you going to say it lasts forever? Okay? His loving kindness lasts forever. It's everlasting. And in Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The counsel of the Lord stands, Olam, O-L-A-M. Okay, plans from the heart, and the plans of his heart from generation to generation. So we see this is a Hebrew word that can mean a long time, it can mean ages past, but it also can mean forever when it's applied to God. Now you'll see it here in Exodus chapter 27, and you have another word, and that word is tamid. It's another Hebrew word, but it also can mean continuously, continually, or something like that, and here it is. You shall charge the sons. This is Exodus 27, dropping down to verse 20. You shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually. That word is tamid in the Hebrew. It means on and on. In the tent of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a perpetual statute. And I think King James says everlasting statute. But that word again is olam. It shall be an olam statute about throughout the generations of the sons of Israel. Now, do we have a lamp burning today? No. Why? Because we don't have the temple here. We don't have the Levitical priesthood here. So everlasting here means what? As long as conditions continue. Now, there's another Hebrew word. It's used in, the same word here. And I'm going to drop down to Psalm 9 and verse 5. You have rebuked the heathen. You have destroyed the wicked. You have put out their name forever and ever. Now, forever and ever are two Hebrew words. Again, the one is olam and the other one is ad. We already saw that. For a long time, you've put out their name for what? How long? You could say forever and ever. I suppose you could say that. Forever and in perpetuity, their name is blotted out. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, or the eternal, my God? And again, here's another Hebrew word. It's another one. It's called Kedem, Q-E-D-E-M, Kedem, or Kedem. And it means long ago, of ages past. Are you not from antiquity? Or, when it's applied to God, everlasting. When did God start? Okay, how long are you going to say it was that God started? And ages past. From antiquity, from everlasting. Are you not from way back, everlasting? You know, we don't even have a date. You know, we don't have a time. So it's everlasting when it's applied to God. My Holy One, we will not die. You, O Eternal, have appointed them judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. All right, so these are statutes. There are different statutes that have the word everlasting as well. You know, forever, it's usually translated. Look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9. Do not drink, this is to the Levitical priesthood. Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. So you come into the tent of meeting, you cannot drink, if you're a Levitical priest or a Levite, you cannot drink wine or strong drink, or God will kill you. That's what it says. You will die. It is a perpetual statute. Everlasting statute. What does that mean? It's an olam, O-L-A-M, throughout your generations. And again, that word means as long as conditions continue to exist. And you'll see that used, the same word, olam, when it's used of a slave who has paid off his debt. Okay, you know in the Old Testament you had slaves, right? And how did you become a slave in the Old Testament? You committed a crime, and unlike today, when you go to jail, you commit a crime, they make you work it off. You got to pay. You steal an ox, you got to pay back five oxen for an ox, four sheep for a sheep, and so on and so on. So you got to work this off. You got to work off your debt. And in order to work off your debt, if I stole from you, I say, okay, look, I'm your slave, I'm your servant, I'll do what you want. Until I have worked off and profited you enough to pay you back what I stole. Okay, that's how you do. If this person finishes payment and he wants to be set free, but he says, you know, I love working for so-and-so. Old Joe treats me so good. I just want to continue working for him. I don't want to go off on my own. I want to stay with Joe. You know, he's been nice to me. Here's what it says. This is Exodus chapter 21 and verse 5. However, if the slave clearly states, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I don't want to go free. Maybe he obtained a wife and children while he was working for his master. I don't want to go free. Then his master will bring him before God, or the judges, some translations say the judges, and he will bring him to the door of the doorpost, or to the doorpost. There the master will pierce his ears with a pointed tool. It's referred to as an awl, A-W-L, a pointed tool, and he will serve him as his slave for life. Now I'm reading that from the Common English Bible. It's a brand new translation. It just came out this year in 2011. It's called the Common English Bible. And this translates the word for life. Because you wouldn't say forever, but that's the way the King James has that, because they're translating the word olam, O-L-A-M, as forever. How long was you think he can be this guy's slave? I mean, forever? I mean, he's going to die one day, or the other guy dies, and so on. You know, it doesn't go on forever, as we look at forever. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, you see the same thing here. In verse 15, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 16, I'm reading it from the Common English Bible once again. Now, if your male servant says to you, I don't want to leave your service, because he loves you and your family, and because life is good for him in your service, then you may take a needle and pierce his ear with it into the door frame. From that point on, he will be your permanent servant. Again, the Hebrew word is olam, servant. You'll be your olam servant. Do the same thing for the female servants. If they decide they want to stay with you and they don't want to go, then you will pierce his ear, and he's yours permanently. Now, those are Hebrew words, okay? So we're covering the Hebrew words. You have to question whether or not you can translate that forever if it doesn't apply to God, you know, or the attributes of God, or the actions of God, okay? You have to question. You have to say, well, I'm a little bit... A little bit careful about how I want to say the word forever. Now, in the Greek, we have a totally different word. Greek language has totally different words, but they are similar in ways. There are two main Greek words translated eternal and forever, or everlasting. One is the Greek word aionios. They sound very similar, aionios. And the other one is aeon, ion, or A-I-O-N. One is aionios, meaning A-I-O-N-I-O-S, aionios. And the other one is ion, or aeon, A-I-O-N. Okay, two words. Now, the word aionios is used to mean a long time. It could mean age-lasting. They usually have to do with an age. The word aeon means an age. It's often translated world unfortunately. It's translated, a world, or translated eternal, or forever, or something like that. Take a look at Romans chapter 16 and in verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. May the glory be to God, who can strengthen you with my good news. I'm reading from the Common English Bible again. This is Romans 16, verse 25. And the message I preach about Jesus Christ, he can strengthen you with the announcement of the secret that was kept quiet for a long time. They translate Ionios here for a long time. Let me read that in a different translation. For instance, the American Standard Version goes like this. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which he has kept silent through times eternal. Because they translate the word Ionios, which is translated in Greek literature as eternal, forever. So they translated times eternal. The New Jerusalem Bible puts it like this. Now to him who can make you strong in accordance with the gospel that I preach and the proclamation of Jesus Christ in accordance with that mystery which for endless ages was kept secret. The mystery which was kept secret for endless ages. The Greek word is, the two words there is chronos ionios, times eternal, or times long-standing, or, as he says, endless ages, a times eternal, or, as the Common English Bible says, for a long time. Okay. Now, whether that means forever, it can't mean forever, right? It means for a long time. Before this, it was kept secret for a long, long time in ages past. That's what Paul is trying to say. Now, the next verse in Romans 16, we're going to move to verse 26. So again, he's saying, it's all like one paragraph. Now to him who can make you strong in accordance with the gospel that I preach and the proclamation of Jesus Christ in accordance with that mystery for the endless ages was kept secret. But here's in verse 26, but is now disclosed through the prophetic writings, is made known to all nations according to the command of the Ionios God to bring about the obedience of faith. The command of the Ionios God, that is the eternal God. Now, when you apply the word Ionios to God, how do you apply it? It has to be eternal. God is always everlasting, eternal. Let me read that in the Young's translation. It's a Young's literal translation. Young's literal translation just tries to take the Greek word and apply it, doesn't try to interpret it for you like the Common English Bible does or some idiomatic translations do and so on. But here's what they say. And now having been made manifest, remember it was kept secret from ages past, but it's now manifest also through the prophetic writings, according to a command of the age-during God. That's how they translate that. Age-during, age-lasting God, having been made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, you remember, a certain ruler came to Jesus. You remember that? A certain ruler came. He said, good master, what must I do to have aionios life? Aionios life, eternal life. And we translate that eternal, right? Eternal life. It's not just a casual life. It's not just a few years life. It's got to be an age lasting. It's got to be a long time lasting. So it's translated eternal life in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Dropping down in Luke 18 to verse 29, Jesus said to them, I assure you, brethren, this is such a beautiful statement for us. It really is. I hope you'll really pay attention to this. Jesus said, I assure you that anyone who has left house, husband, wife, brothers, sisters, parents, or children, because of God's kingdom, for the kingdom of God, will receive many times in this age. It will receive many times more in this age and eternal life in the coming age. Aionios life in the coming age. In this world, sometimes some translation, he will receive many times, it will be a hundredfold in this world and eternal, everlasting life, eternal life. Now, the reason this is important is because there are different ages. The Bible talks about various ages, different epochs, times that are epical, okay? And I think you already can see that. You already know that. Was there a particular age from the time that Adam was created until the flood happened? Was there a particular time, a period of time? That period is not like this period of time. And that there are ages then, there was a prophetic age, in which God had a lot of prophets, you know. And what there was the kingdom of Israel age, when Israel was a nation and was a kingdom under God and under God's theocratic rule. And that age is past now. Okay, so let's take a look at a quick statement in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. You'll see here it is. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. In the hope, this is Titus 1, in the hope of eternal life, that's Aionios life, which God, who cannot lie, promised Aionios ago, ages ago. Now, twice the word is used in Titus 1, verse 2. He uses the word Aionios, which we translate a very long time, eternal. Twice it's used there. It's used in hopes of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. Aionios, you know, he promised it way back, from way back time, okay? All right, so let's come to the ages. First of all, who created the ages? If we have different ages, who created them? Well, Hebrews chapter 1, and verses 1 and 2, you remember that verse 1, it talks about God who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past to the fathers, through the prophets. In other words, God who in bits and pieces, that's what that meant. God spoke in bits and pieces to the fathers, has in these last days, I'm going to read it in verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us through his son, through a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the ages. The Greek word is ages, aeons. Remember we had two words, Aionios and then the word aeon. The ion or the aeon. He made the aeons. More than one age. He made different ages. And we'll talk about that because the Bible talks about these different ages. And if you don't understand these different ages, you won't really understand the Bible very well. You won't understand the New Testament, what God's talking about. Take a look at this. We've already seen this, but let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21. That God has put Jesus Christ above, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. This is Ephesians 1, verse 21. And every name that is named, he's put him way above all this. Not only in this age. Jesus Christ is supreme in this age, and also in the one to come. Implied the age to come. Now, it doesn't use the word age again, but it does, says that to come, that which is coming. So he is supreme. Jesus Christ is supreme in this age. Okay? He is far above all authority and power and dominion, and he has a name that is above every name that is named, not only in this age, and the word is aeon, but also in the one to come. Now, who is the ruler of this age, though? Who's really the power during this age? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, he's talking about those people who have been blinded to the gospel, those people who cannot seem to understand God's truth. They have been blinded. He says, in their case, the God of this age, this aeon. So we have this age. Ephesians referred to this age. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. So in this age, people have been blinded. This is an age right now. Jesus didn't use the word age in this passage, but in John chapter 12 and verse 31, this is what Jesus said about this world. He used the word cosmos. Now judgment is upon this cosmos, this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who's the ruler of this world? Satan. Judgment is upon it. The ruler of this world will eventually be cast out. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, talking about God, about Christ now, who gave himself, this is Galatians 1, verse 4, talking about Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, where it is aeon. We live in an age today, since the time of Christ, and maybe even before that, that is dominated by evil, and it's dominated by a spirit that rules, the God of this world that rules, and the spirit that creates disobedience, Ephesians, I believe, 2:2, that creates disobedience in people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we have this age, right? We have ages past. We have this age. And in Ephesians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he might become wise. So if you really think you're wise in this age, you need to become foolish in order to understand the truth of God, because the truth of God is not always presented to people who think they're wise in this age. You have to become foolish. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I want to talk about another interesting passage. There are two places. You've probably heard of this, and you probably have read it a number of times, but take a look. I'm going to read it, first of all, from the Common English Bible, because it has it in the way we would understand it today, but not necessarily as totally accurate if you take a look at the Greek words. Here we are. Mark chapter 3. Jesus is saying, Mark chapter 3 and verse 28, I assure you, meaning I most solemnly tell you, that human beings, he talks about men, I think, men will be forgiven, men meaning anthropo, human beings, will be forgiven for everything, for all sins and insults of every kind. You can insult me, you'll be forgiven for it. I can insult you, we'll be forgiven for it. Oh God, I'm sorry I insulted him or her, and we'll be forgiven. We're forgiven for insults of every kind. But listen to this, verse 29. This is Mark chapter 3, verse But whoever insults the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. That person is guilty of a sin with consequences that last forever. Now that's the common English Bible translation. Now let me read you in a literal translation of Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Here's the Young's literal translation. Verily I say to you that all sins shall be forgiven to the sons of men, and evil speakings with which they might speak evil. But whoever may speak evil in regard to the Holy Spirit. See, the word blaspheme, what does the word blaspheme mean? I know it's a technical word. We use it, and, oh, wow, blaspheme. I don't know what that means, what a blaspheme. It means you speak evil about it. You say bad things. But whoever speaks evil in regard to the Holy Spirit has not forgiveness to the age. Now, the Greek word uses the aeon here, to the age. The word is to the age. The Greek word says, he will not have forgiven to the age, meaning to the end of the age, but is in danger of age during judgment. So sometimes it's translated forever. But literally it means age-lasting judgment. How long does that last? Now let me read that in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Okay, I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Version, and then we'll go to the New English Translation. Here it is. Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore I tell you that people... Now this is the Common English Bible. Therefore I tell you that people will be forgiven for every sin and insult to God. Think about that. People will be forgiven for every sin and insult to God. So if there's a person out here and they curse God, and they're atheists, and they say, oh, you know, God, you know, and they just insult God. And, you know, people do it all the time. I mean, I shiver when that happens. I'm like, oh, you know, would you insult God? You know, you could some bad thing. But Jesus said, therefore I tell you that people will be forgiven for every sin and insult to God. But listen to this. But insulting the Holy Spirit won't be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the human one, meaning the Son of Man, will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit won't be forgiven, not in this age, nor in the age that is coming. Now let me ask you a question. What is the age that is coming, brethren? This is the age. What age is coming? What? The millennial rule. It's another age. It's going to be a completely different age from this age. The Bible talks about ages, past ages, present age, and a future age to come. We're talking about these ages. They won't be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. Listen to it in the New English Translation. For this reason, I tell you, people will be forgiven of every sin and blasphemy. They use the word blasphemy because that word means the word blasphemy is almost a literal translation from the Greek. The Greek uses the word blasphemos, you know, and it's almost literally translated from the Greek word. Blasphemy, meaning speaking evil. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks a word against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, you know, a lot of people worry. They say, well, I wonder if I've committed the holy, you know, I've committed the unpardonable sin. Maybe, you know, that's what we call the unpardonable sin, right? But you have to understand the context of this, and you have to understand that there should be at least three elements here. There are three things that we have to keep in mind. The first one is the nature of the sin. What that does is to ascribe the obvious work, it has to be obvious work of the Holy Spirit, and you're ascribing it to Satan the devil. That's what the Pharisees did at that time. Jesus Christ made wonderful healings and wonderful blessings to people, and they said, you are casting out this demon. You're doing it by the power of a demon, by Satan's power. And Jesus would say, what in the world's wrong with you? You think Satan's going to cast out Satan? Well, how silly is that? Is his kingdom divided? If his house is divided, the kingdom is going to fall. But they kept insisting that every time he did miracles that were God's miracles and miracles of the Holy Spirit, they would attribute it to Satan. Okay, now and that's a serious thing. Number two, it is not simply a momentary doubt. Having a momentary doubt, having a setback, having a sinful condition because you yield to temptation or you do something wrong, that is not in the category of the unpardonable sin of this age and the age to come. Rather, that the condition that is unpardonable is a settled condition. It is a transient condition. It will not move. It opposes the Holy Spirit's work, as you saw in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who attributed Jesus' work to Satan the devil. And third, anybody who would be concerned that they had committed the unpardonable sin for sure has not committed it. If you're worried and concerned and your conscience bothered that you might have committed it, for sure you didn't commit it, because people who, the Sadducees and Pharisees, were absolutely not concerned at all about Jesus' warning. They just poo-pooed it. Okay? So, we have long history past. We have the aeon, the ages. Remember the phrase, you are a high priest forever. That's in the book of Hebrews. Forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forever meaning to the ages. You are high priest to the ages after the order of Melchizedek. And I think forever would be a good thing there. Okay? All right. And when Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be with you to the ages, forever, meaning implied forever. Okay. Okay. Now, what time is it? I want to finish up here, and I'm just almost done. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 4, verse 19, and he's talking about the people who where the seed was scattered. You know, you have the parable of the sower, and he goes out to sow the seed, and he's talking about how some of the seed springs up and then the thorns and the thistles come up and they choke out the word. You remember that? And in Mark 4 verse 19 he said, and the cares of this world, the cares of this age is the right word, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In this world, in this age, we have cares. You know, people get worried, they get concerned. If you let those cares get too great, they can choke out the word. And especially new people coming into God's truth, they can choke out the word. So we're told in Romans chapter 12, and verse 2, be not conformed to this age. This is an age. We're not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you're proving what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not conformed to this age. Remember, this age is the age of where the God of this world rules. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5, here's what we have. We have tasted the good word of God. Now, it's a warning to people. It's a warning to people who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. When Jesus Christ came, if you have received a miracle from God, if you've got any kind of special healing, if you've gotten any kind of blessings like that, you have tasted of the powers of the world to come. It means the age to come. It's talking about the new age, right? This is this age. We have an age to come. You have tasted that power. And certainly the people in Jesus' time, when Jesus Christ touched people who were healed of their eyesight, were healed the blind, healed the deaf, cast out demons, those people tasted the powers of the world to come, the age to come. Now, it's a very fearful thing then to throw that over, you know. And in the book of Mark, this is a beautiful passage. We just talked about that. The person who's left houses, he left mothers, he left fathers, he left children's wife and all that. He will receive 100 times as much now in the present age. 100 times as much. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 30. He will receive 100 times as much in this present age. You see? Houses and brothers. He's going to receive houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms. Along with persecutions. We're going to receive persecutions. So he will receive 100 times more in this present age. And in the age to come, he will receive aionios life. Aionios life. Everlasting life. Eternal. It's translated by most translations, eternal life. So what God is really saying, You know, the United States lost its AAA rating. God never lost his, and he never will. Everything you invest in God, every sacrifice you make for God, every time you have to forsake something for God, you will get 100 times that. Even in this age and in the age to come, a big payoff, everlasting life.